Manny, thank you, bro, for the encouragement. I need to set a timer up here because Matt knows I could use it all. So this is very encouraging to be here with you guys. I think we're getting the projection set up here, so there'll be some slides. I do have a bunch of scriptures, so hopefully that'll help. But in the meantime, you'll have to get your Bible app out or your physical Bible and be able to look along with me on there. But it is great to be with the New Jersey Campus Ministry. I love this campus ministry. I got to meet a few new people here today. That was encouraging. I'm bummed my brother's not feeling well, so pray for John that he can get better. I know many of you know him, and I'm encouraged by just how this campus ministry is doing here. I got to become a Christian in this ministry in December of 2009. So this was a while ago, and then I was in this ministry for a while after that. And now my wife, Chelsea, and I work with our kind of sister ministry in the city and with the AONYC campus ministries. And so I'm grateful to be invited back and to get to come and speak for you all tonight. So I've heard that your theme for this semester is Echo.
That's right.
So what's your theme?
Echo.
Echo. You kind of echoed me there a little bit. But I don't know about you guys, but growing up as a kid, even still now, if you're going through a tunnel, it's kind of fun to like yell and hear an echo a little bit. My kids love doing that. I remember going into the mall, like a large mall growing up, and every time we walked like out of the Macy's or the JCPenney's or whatever it was into the main mall area, I would hear this like yell sound and not process like, what was that? And then one year, I realized my brother was like, not John actually, my other brother Eric, was like yelling every time we'd walk in, and I was hearing his echo, and that's right. What it was. Probably the best echo of all time is in The Grinch.
Yes.
So, you know, Christmas is coming up soon. If you want to watch The Grinch, I highly recommend it, but y'all know what I'm talking about, where he's in his cave yelling, you're an idiot, and it yells it right back at him. That's probably the best echo that there's been. But the best echo really should be us echoing God,
okay,
right? So I'm spiritualizing it right now, just like those three of you did with those awesome items. So you guys have probably been talking about this, but the idea is that we were created in God's image.
Right.
Ephesians 4 actually says that we were created to be like God. And if you studied out what it means to be a Christian, you know that discipleship is following Jesus, trying to be like him.
Right.
And so in every area of our life, we want our lives to be an echo, a reflection, a response, a coming from God,
yeah,
from Jesus, from who he is. Not us coming up with our own way, our own sound, our own truth, our own whatever, but we want our lives to be an echo, a response to, well, what does God say is true? Who does God say I am? How does God tell me to live? So we want our lives to be an echo. And I know you're covering a lot of different areas. And so tonight we're going to be talking about echo relationships.
Yeah.
Echo relationships. And not like boyfriend, girlfriend, marriage, right? I know maybe some of you would love to talk about that.
Yeah,
but we're going to start with just friendships, like good spiritual friendships that we need to have, these, you know, echoing God in his relational design for Christianity, that he wants us to have relationships. God is relational. Jesus had relationships. So if we're echoing God, if we're echoing Jesus, then we need to have relationships as well. Amen?
Right. Amen.
So the first verse I want to look at here is in John 17. This is Jesus praying. And I want to point out just a couple things in his prayer here. And this is his prayer before he goes on to die on the cross for us. So obviously some important things on his heart. And he probably had a towel to cry into as he was praying these things. So in John 17, verse 3, it says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And a lot of times we want to speculate, like, well, what's heaven like? What's heaven all about? And I'm sure there's so much amazing aspects of heaven that we couldn't wrap our minds around. But the main point of eternal life, like what living forever is really all about, Jesus says here, this is eternal life, that they know you.
Yeah.
Like the main point of eternal life is relational. Like the primary value of heaven, of eternity, of living, is relational. God designed relational value into the purpose of heaven, yeah, even. And then he goes on to pray in verse 20. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, that they may be one as we are one. And so once we know God, Jesus is calling us to these one another, soul to soul, brother to brother, sister to sister, brother to sister, deep relationships in his church. And not shallow friendships, not, you know, fading friendships or whatever, but friendships that reflect God's own relationship with Jesus. Like that kind of valued, invested in, important relationships. And so if we're going to be like God, then we need to echo him in his call to be relational and to invest in relationships.
Yeah.
And why is this a concern? Well, first of all, because it's important to God. But I also think it's important to talk about because there is a growing weakness in our world and in the church in the ability to build deep relationships and connect with people. Right? Like we can talk to a lot of people, but how many do we really get deep with or end up building close relationships to? And there's a lot working against it. I don't need to tell you all the details, but obviously there's modern technology and the effect that has on social skills and people's EQ, that's their emotional intelligence. Our attention spans are not what they used to be as a humanity, right? And the average person spends 70 hours a week on a screen, right? And one time I went and looked at, you know, my own phone's record, and I was convicted. I was like, I'm looking at my phone too much, right? I need to focus on people more, on God more, and not living there. And so we can have so many friends and interaction, but kind of be shallow and surfacey. And the danger of that is it could be a facade. Oh, I have a lot of relationships, but who really knows us? Who do we really know and are doing life with? Beyond that, the culture that we live in, it feeds a very self-focused mindset. You put yourself first. Be self-driven. To think more like, well, what's in it for me versus a more communal mindset of, well, what's in it for we?
Yeah.
Right? Our culture tells us put yourself first, and we can feed into that. And the third reason it's a concern is just because spiritually, we need this, but we don't always have the conviction that we need it.
Right.
And sometimes disciples or people trying to be in a relationship with God dramatically undervalue how much you do need other people in your life. And so if you don't have a conviction of that, then you're not really going to be investing in it. And so I know people in this room tonight are all over the place with this, and some of you do have deep relationships. I mean, being here early and starting late, you know, there was able to be like 45 minutes of fellowship where I could see, oh, people are building relationships and getting to know each other. And so if you're already doing that, hopefully this message will encourage you to keep doing that. But I hope everybody can walk out tonight having a conviction, no, I need deep relationships.
Yeah,
and so I've got 2 points tonight to help us build deep relationships, to echo God in our relationships. You guys with me?
Yeah,
cool. First point is that you've got to value one another. So the first point is that we'll invest, we'll echo God in this, we'll build deep relationships when we value it.
Right.
So we're going to talk about valuing one another, and then we're going to talk about investing in those relationships. But you won't invest in it if you don't value it. So first you've got to see, no, this is valuable. This is important. We need to value one another. Like I said, we invest in things when we value them. And I do think God has made it super clear how necessary and important relationships are. Right? First of all, they're important because God is relational in his nature. He's 3-in-1.
Right.
He's got, for eternity, he's had this, you know, 3-person self-relationship, right? But God is relational in that he created us and then doesn't go, all right, I'm good without you, which he is fine without us. But he creates us and then wants to know us, wants to interact with us, even wants to sacrifice for us, right? To the point of sending Jesus. God is relational. We're made in his likeness. We should be relational. We are, whether you like it or not, you're a relational person. The purpose of eternity, like I said, is relationship. You look at the animal kingdom, right? Just look at animals. There are 9 million known species of animals, and guess how many live in solitary, don't live in community? 26.
Wow.
Of 9 million species, there's only 26 that live in solitary, and even most of those don't when they're raising their young, and some of those 26 are endangered. So it's not working out well for them.
That's right.
Right? Just you look at creation, even like rocks and stuff like that. Like, when do you ever just see like one rock, right? Just one grass blade, right? Like, that would be weird. You know, it's just like creation. It just says together. It says relationship, community, and we're made that way as well. Some studies even show that extreme loneliness can affect our health as much as a regular cigarette addiction can.
Wow.
Right, that the same cause of stress on the body that extreme loneliness can cause on us from the emotional deprivation and the need for community.
Wow.
And my last example of why these are important and we should value it is just simply consider how we feel about people who live in isolation for any extended period of time, right? Especially intentionally. If you know there's somebody who chose to go off the grid, live by themselves for a year, 10 years, like, do you want to just walk into their place? You know, you're like, I'm not sure why this person has interacted with nobody for 10 years or whatever it is. I have a picture of this up here. A few years ago, Matt and I decided, we like go on these like adventures together every few years or whatever. But we decided to bike the entire island of Manhattan together. So we left early in the morning, parked in Fort Lee, biked over the bridge, and we biked the whole, 38 miles around Manhattan. It was a blast. It was harder than I thought it was going to be. But there was one point where we were on, riding along the East River in Harlem, and it's early in the morning, and it kind of got a little, unclear where to go. And we went down this one, back way that we thought might be, a hidden sidewalk. So we're like going down this, and all of a sudden it comes to a dead end, and there's just somebody's home is set up right there,
right?
Like tent, stuff hanging up outside, and we just pretty quickly felt turn around, because we're way down this one area. And so, when we see okay, people don't do well when they live in isolation on their own. It's not healthy for us. And here's the thing, God doesn't want you, God doesn't want me, God doesn't want any of us to be creepy, potentially dangerous, isolated Christians who don't have people in our lives, are independent, think we could do it in ourselves, and aren't investing in other people's lives. The truth is, everyone, every person gets funky left on their own long enough. You stop listening to other people, learning from other people, letting other people know what you're feeling, thinking, going through, you will get funky, right? Left on our own, we get funky. We need each other. And the real danger is when you stop smelling your own stink, right? When you've just lived in your own funk so long, you don't even notice, you're prideful. Nobody can even tell you because you're too prideful to hear it, right? You're wrong about things, but no one can even show you that because you don't let people in. The real danger is when we can't even smell our own stink anymore. Close relationships are integral to following Jesus, having people in our life who will help us to grow. Jesus did this, right? Jesus connected with the big. He had, if you look in the Bible, he had times where he was with 72 people, 120 people, 5,000 people. So he had those moments, like at midweek here tonight, right? We're with 40, 50 people, whatever. But what Jesus primarily specialized in was the small, intimate relationships.
Yeah.
He had his 12. He had his 3, right? And so coming to church is great and it's important, but it's not good enough. It's needed. It's necessary. You can't be a Christian without it. But even more important is, do you have 2 or 3 or 4, maybe even up to 12 people who really are in your life and know you? We need those intimate relationships like Jesus had. And so when we have these deep relationships, they help us to do 2 things. Which is more reason why we should value them. 2 big biblical reasons to value these relationships is because we need them to both survive spiritually and to thrive spiritually. I'll read 2 quick verses on this. The first one on surviving spiritually. Hebrews 3:12 to 14 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Now, I like how this verse starts off saying we need people who will see to it in our lives, and we need to be people who will see to it in other people's lives.
Yeah.
See to what? That we don't get hardened spiritually, deceived by sin. Right? We can't all see ourselves clearly. There's things you know about yourself others can't see, but there's things other people could see about you that you can't see about yourself. Right? And if we don't have people in our life, it says if we don't have that encouragement from one another regularly, daily, that we're in danger of ending up hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Instead, we need to share in Christ what we started off with, it said in verse 14. And so, you need relationships to survive spiritually. You won't make it to heaven without relationships in your life. And not only making it to heaven, but life will be a lot harder without it. We need relationships to survive spiritually. And so I'd ask you tonight, do you have people seeing to it in your life? Do you have people making sure that you are not being hardened by sin's deceitfulness? Are you inviting that into your life? Are you welcoming that? Are you letting anybody be that for you? If not, find who that can be. Figure out who those people are. And secondly, you're valuing them because we need them to thrive spiritually. So on one end is not dying, and on the other end is growing and actually doing well and not just like being here as a Christian, right? Which I believe I'm in a room of people that want to grow. Ephesians 4:15, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so this verse tells us that in order to grow, we need to be joined and held together with supporting ligaments.
Right.
That means that we grow when we have strong, close spiritual friendships, where we're inspiring each other, we're working together, we're lifting each other up, we're calling each other higher, we're building up one another's faith and hope, we're confessing to each other, we're praying together, we're being joined and held together, supporting ligaments in each other's lives.
Yeah.
You know, we need these spiritual, devoted relationships to not just last, but to grow spiritually. In the city, we just finished going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and I love this one verse. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Two are better than one. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This is just a passage telling us that we're so much stronger when we do life closely intertwined with other people rather than by ourselves. And I, for one, just can't imagine going through life, let alone being a disciple, without close relationships, doing it with, knowing what I'm going through, being able to just listen, or being able to give me advice, or to kind of correct my thinking, or set me straight, or read a scripture with me, or challenge me on things that I was doing wrong. Or I just look back over the last 14 years of being a Christian, and there's so many things where I go, I can't imagine going through that tough time without the people that were there. Or I don't know if I'd still be a Christian if that person did not say what they said to me at that point. Or that one challenging conversation. Like, there's so many things where I'm like, I had to build those relationships, though, right? And if I didn't have them, then when I needed to hear it, would I have listened to them? Would anybody have even been there to say it to me?
Wow.
And so you got to build those relationships so that when you need it, you have it, and they're there. And so this whole first point is value relationships. Value the need for, and when I say relationships, I mean these spiritual, close, helping each other spiritually relationships. You call them discipling relationships, one another relationships, whatever you want to call it, but we need them. And hopefully you see the value of them, and that will make you want to Second point, invest in them. And so if you value it, then you go, okay, there's value here. I'm going to put time towards this. I'm going to put energy towards this. I'm going to put effort towards this. I'm going to sacrifice towards this. A lot of you are going into stressful debt for college or just spending a lot of money. Why are you doing that? Because either you didn't think it through or you thought it through and decided this value is worth the investment, right? We invest in things because we know this has value, right? You don't just go spend money on something that you don't want or is worthless. So we invest in things that we value. If you value it, you will invest. Jesus invested deeply in his relationships. I mean, he picked these guys and didn't just say, let's get together Wednesday nights, Friday nights, Sunday mornings. He said, come follow me. And they were together 24/7 for years.
Wow.
You know, I mean, if you were to look at Jesus and go, how much did he invest in relationships? It was 24/7. Now, we can't do that, obviously. But in some ways, we need to aim for these daily relationships. Jesus invested heavily in his disciple relationships. And I beg to ask, has God invested in anything, anything in this universe, anything in the world, has God invested in anything more than to have a relationship with us?
Wow.
When you think about what has God invested in, he sent Jesus to die on the cross for what? So that you and I could be in a right relationship with him. Like, if you're talking about what's worth investing in, college, yes, maybe certain financial decisions or but what is most worth investing in? What's worth your time more than anything is relationships. First, a relationship with God, obviously, but we're talking tonight about relationships with people, with fellow followers of Jesus, right? Like, that is worth investing your time, and you being here tonight is worth your time more than studying an extra couple hours tonight or sleeping a little bit more. Like, it's worth the, I'm not saying the other stuff's not valuable, but God invested in relationships more than anything else. We should too. It shows how much he values us and relationships, and therefore we want to echo that. But here's the thing, is that deep one another relationships are not built easily. They're not built automatically. People are hard to get along with. People are hard to get time with. People are hard to connect with some. Like, it takes sacrifice. It takes giving of yourself. It takes investment. That's what an investment is you take some of what you have and you put it somewhere else. It takes attention and it takes heart to really put into action building these deep relationships. Fortunately, God gave us many tools in the scriptures to help us learn, well, how do I build these relationships that are so important? How do I do this? And so if you were to look in the New Testament at how many times the phrase one another is used, which would be a verse talking about how two Christians should be in their relationship with each other, that phrase one another is used over 100 times in the New Testament. And so that gives us a lot of verses to get ideas of, like, okay, so how do we do this? What does this look like? What do I do to invest? And these scriptures teach us how to invest in these relationships. And what I have found is that the more you put in, the more you'll get out. And that's true about any investment. The more you put in, the more you will get out of it. And so with these relationships, they're not built quickly. They take time, but they're worth investing in. And the more you put in, the more you're going to get out of it. I'm not going to read all of the verses. You can look these up on your own time. But just listen to some of the passages that say what our relationships should be like. The Bible says that we are to sharpen one another, share scriptures with each other, encourage one another, build each other up, serve one another, love one another, be devoted to one another, live in harmony with one another, instruct one another, be perfectly united with one another, serve one another humbly in love, confess your sins to one another, bear with one another, forgive one another, be kind and compassionate with one another, teach and admonish one another. Right? When you see this list, if you imagine, hey, if I had a few people in my life that I was practicing this with, can't you see why you would grow spiritually? Can't you see why you would survive spiritually? Like, this will help you grow. And the other thing I want to point out is all of these are action statements. It's telling you, do this. You need to, this is not like, be encouraged by others, be built up by others, be served by others, be instructed, like, these are, you follow Jesus, you do this. You own this. You go after initiating in the relationships. I've had a good amount of people on campus over the years that have come and expressed not feeling close to people, not feeling served by people, not being loved by people, and I hate that. But you've got to stop and go, okay, but am I doing that for other people?
Wow.
Right? And that's where you've got to start with is, who am I calling? Who am I texting? Who am I reaching out to? Who am I sharing scriptures with? Who am I asking for help from? Right? Am I going after others, or do others have to go after me?
Yeah.
Right? Who are your one another relationships? How are they going? If you think about your one another relationships, with which of these verses do you feel like, hey, we're practicing those? And maybe share with them, hey, I feel like we do these well. But which of these do you think you could grow in those relationships? And maybe talk with those people tonight about, hey, we need to do this more together. Let's try to put this into practice more together. Right? Have conversations so that you can set these up and to help them to go well. We have to be intentional about this, because as life gets busier, usually what gets choked out first is people. Because we've got so many other things we have to do, got to do it. And then people can end up being like the scraps. But their relationships are one of the most important things. And so, we'll go back to that in a second. Oh, I don't have the scripture, this verse up here. But there's this one verse in 1 Thessalonians 2:17, where Paul writes, out of intense longing, we made every effort to see you, but Satan stopped us. Out of intense longing, we made every effort to see you, but Satan stopped us. The verse is saying that Paul made every effort to see the disciples, but somehow Satan stopped them from being able to do that. And this verse tells you a couple things. One, that Satan doesn't want us to build relationships. Satan wants to stop us from building relationships because he knows how important they are. The other thing we should see in this is Paul's conviction. Out of intense longing, we made every effort to see you. I mean, does that describe your effort to get to Devo on Friday night? Does that describe your heart to get to midweek on Wednesday nights, right? And I'm sure it does for many of you. But does Satan even have to try to stop you, or do most of the time do you stop yourself when it comes to relationships? You know, I was really trying to call this brother today so we could pray together. Or did Satan not even have to stop you from doing that? Because you weren't going to do it anyway. You know, we want to have this intense longing that this is so important. We've got to fight for this. And so I just want to share some practicals that help me to have these good discipling and one another relationships. And, you know, the first thing is have a plan. You're not going to build a deep relationship with somebody who you're not purposefully doing that with. Right? It doesn't just automatically happen. You need to have a plan. Who is going to be this main person or couple people in your life? How often are you going to get together? Pick somebody near you in life, not somebody like in another state. Like, build a good friendship with them, yes, but like people in life that you're with and doing life with. Maybe somebody from your same school or your same area, right? The other thing with this too is you want to know who those people are, and they should know that they are that person for you.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to go to somebody and be like, hey, who are the main people in your life helping you spiritually? And they're like, oh, this person and this person. You go to those people and you're like, hey, who are the main people you're helping spiritually or you're in their life with? And they're like, this person, and don't mention you. Right? Like, there's a disconnect there somewhere. Like, communicate. Be like, hey, I want you to be, or I want to be in this kind of discipling or one another relationship. Like, have a plan. Communicate. When are we going to meet? Commit to it. Make it a priority in your week to get that time with those people. Figure it out. You know, for Chelsea and I, for a few years, we've been discipled by this one couple, and they were the main people we'd be getting with to help us. And we had set up, okay, we meet every other Thursday, and then we do phone calls the weeks in between. And I did not wait to hear from them. Every week on Sunday or Monday, I would reach out and say, hey, are we good for this Thursday? Hey, are we good for this, right? Because I want to confirm it. I want to make sure, even though I'm kind of the receiver in this setup, I want to initiate. I want to take ownership of my growth, of my spirituality. And so if any of you are in a discipling relationship with somebody or studying the Bible with somebody in here, like, don't make them go after you. You go after them. You take ownership for these relationships. And so some other practicals, once it's set up, talk often, right? You want to talk frequently, not monthly, not only when you're in a crisis, not only in the fellowship. You want to be like doing life together, like daily touch-ins or phone calls every few days. Like just be in frequent communication with those few people. Pray for those people. Pray together with those people. Prayer is important. Practice these one another passages. Maybe pick one of these and go, hey, I'm going to try to do this one this month with the people I'm close to. You know, I think being on the mission together is huge. With those two or three people you're closest to, like not just being inward focused, but getting outward focused together. Hey, let's find somebody we could study the Bible with and help become a Christian together. It's so bonding to help people fall in love with God and become Christians together. You know, save people together, also serve people together, go serving together in different ways. Be there for the hard times and the good times. I think it's so important to, when we're really close to people, to realize when they're going through something, to stop whatever we got going on and be there for them.
Yeah.
Make time to talk on the phone. Go to their family members' funerals. If they went through something really tough, go visit them. If they're sick, swing by and drop something off. Like, be there for people. That shows love and is what really counts. I'm saying be there for the hard times, but also be there for the good times. Plan birthday celebrations, right? Like Ron just got the group together to go to Sushi X together. You know, but like go celebrate together. Graduation, the semester ending. Like whatever you can celebrate, celebrate it. That's such a great part of friendships is just victories, celebrating together. I think it's important to have each other in one another's homes. It's hard to really feel close to somebody if you've never even seen where they live. Yeah. You know, like be in each other's houses. How much do you really know somebody if you've never seen their house? You know, like being in each other's homes or dorm rooms, whatever, can help a lot. Making memories together. Getting out and doing stuff and having fun together. That's all important part of relationships. You know, I think what helped them a lot in the Bible was that they spent a lot of time together and they didn't have smartphones, TV, social media, streaming services, or any of that stuff. Like they had to do things together, talk about stuff, tell funny stories, engage with each other. Like that's what they had to do. And so I just want to encourage you, when you go to other people's houses, be more focused on how can I connect with you than how can I connect with your Wi-Fi. Right? We're so often like, hey, how do I connect it to your Wi-Fi? Put the phone down and just say, hey, I'm here to spend time with you right now. You know, and I'm working on this. When I'm with people, like, don't have my phone out with the screen up on the table the whole time. Like, put it away. I can, you know, like, turn the volume up so if there's an emergency call, I hear it. But, like, let me just be here with you right now. And be attentive. Be focused. Have boundaries with the phone. You know, closing conviction I want to share with you guys is that I think we want to be in a place in our relationships where you want to be so tied in that it would be really hard for you to leave God if you tried.
Wow.
Because there would be other people fighting to hold you back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want to be so tied in that it would be really hard to leave God and to not be growing.
Wow.
You know, you saw this picture preview a little bit earlier. So 8 years ago when we moved into the home that we live in now, there was these like huge big old bushes out in the front of our house. And they were large, they were getting bigger, they were starting to block our front windows, they were ugly. And so I decided I need to deal with these things. And so we had like three of these bushes out there. And my stepdad came down to help me get these out. And so he brought down his big pickup truck, this thick chain. And our idea was we were going to tear these things out of the ground. And so we get all set up with the truck. I get the chain. We wrap it around the bottom of these bushes. And across the street are my neighbor's landscapers. And they're out there doing their thing. But I notice as we're setting up the truck and the chain, I notice they stopped what they were doing, walked over to the sidewalk, took out their phones, and started filming us. And in this moment, I thought, is this a bad idea? Like, they think this is worth filming. This is probably not the right thing to be doing. So we go on with it anyway. We got the chain around the bottom of the bushes. Stepdad gets in the truck, and he is just hauling it, like, on the gas. And these things are not budging. I mean, I'm talking about a huge pickup truck on the street, just burning rubber, and a bush is not being able to be ripped out of the ground. Finally, we give up on it. The guys are just laughing, like across the street, are cracking up filming this. I'm sure they went home and showed their family and all this stuff. Look at these idiots, you know. So we took the chain away, and then we got out the chainsaw and went ahead and just took off the top layer. And then I saw why these were so hard to get ripped out of the ground. Is once we sawed them down, I saw the root system and the branches, and I saw these branches are so interlocked that that was why we could not rip it out of the ground. It's because it grew so interwoven and complicated that it built this network. A cord of 3 strands is not quickly broken. What about a cord of 15 strands, 12 strands, you know? We could not rip this out of the ground. And here's the thing, is we want to build relationships where God and his angels would just be laughing at Satan trying to rip you out of the faith. Where if Satan was trying to rip you out, if life's hardships were trying to rip you out, if a hurt relationship, if a disappointment, if sin, if something was trying to rip you out of the faith, that you would be so interwoven with other people that it would be a joke to try to rip you out. That there's nothing that could pull you away from your relationship with God.
Wow.
And so imagine each one another relationship as a strand of you building the roots and the tree of your faith and of your life. You know, for me recently, I was going through the book of Colossians for my quiet times, and I noticed all the relationships in chapter 4 that Paul mentioned. And so I drew this chart. Oh, that's the aftermath of my landscaping. To show my skills right there. That's what it looked like. Much better, but much weaker. You could rip all that stuff out. So I sat down with Paul, and I went through, you know, the verses I was reading, and I wrote down, like, okay, here's all the relationships it mentions. Paul, he mentions Tychicus, John, Mark, Epaphras. And as I mapped this out and wrote what he said about that person and who they were to him or what they did to him, I felt like, wow, Paul's life looks a lot like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Paul, not that one. This one. Paul's life looked a lot like that. He had these webs, this network of relationships.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, what does this look like for me?
Oh, there you go.
So I said, who are my who's there for me? Who are the people really in my life? Now you're squinting like, who are the people who's mad up there? you know, but this was a helpful. And then, you know, I got to see like, wow, I do have these networks of relationships.
Yeah.
And I felt there and said, man, I'd have to want to leave so badly to really pull myself away from God. Because I know I have these people who would help me, who would challenge me, who would be there for me, who would hold me back, hold me down, and help me to cling to God.
Yeah.
So I want you to think tonight about how hard would it be to uproot you?
Mm.
Who would hold you back? Who could speak some sense into you? Who could challenge you? Right? Who is in your life? Do you surround yourself with people who make you grow, who have you deeply rooted in your relationship with God? And who are you being that for? We got to think about that both ways. You know, over time, the more I realize that amongst everything else that happens in life, my relationships really are, at the end of the day, what matter to me more than anything else. There's a lot of things, a lot of experiences, a lot of whatever, but at the end of the day, what gives life its value is relationships. First, my relationship with God, but aside from that, it's my close relationships, like the people that fill my life and help me to live life to the full. We don't want to be so busy building the case for your life that you miss filling it with what really matters.
Wow. Yeah.
So busy building the outside, but the inside doesn't have people in it. And the truth is, a house isn't a home if a family doesn't live there.
Yeah.
And in the same way, a ministry is not Jesus' church if it's not filled with brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? It's not the church if it's not family, if it's not close friendships. That's what we need to be building with each other. And so I want to encourage you tonight, let's echo God's relational nature and Jesus' investment in relationships. We need each other to survive and thrive spiritually. So let's all go after building these deep one another relationships that will help you to never be unrooted. Amen?
Come on.
Amen. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, let's give it up for God.
Good job, bro. Thank you.